Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Cirino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, we are recapping the Mike Tomlin press conference, which just finished up here on Tuesday. He had an injury report for us coming out of Sunday's game. Not just Joe Haden on that injury report, by the way. Haden left the game on Sunday with that hamstring injury. Some surprising names on this list, including Ben Roethlisberger, who injured his elbow on Sunday. We'll talk about the full injury report today. He also had a lot to say about this game against the Cleveland Browns, of course, addressing the turnovers in this game. Not just the offensive turnovers, of course, the fact that the Steelers turned the ball over six times, but also the fact that the defense was only able to come up with one turnover. We'll talk about those comments today. Also want to play for you his comments about TJ Watt and Sean Davis. He praised them and their play specifically on defense. He talked about the playing time for James Conner and what the plan is going to be going forward with James Conner carrying the load now at running back. Also, some interesting comments from him about the replay officials and the NFL's decision to come out and correct the Myles Garrett penalty. Remember, the Browns were called for Myles Garrett landing on Ben Roethlisberger with his full body weight. The NFL came out since then as corrected and saying that that was wrongly officiated, but that is the only call that they came out and said that was wrongly officiated from Sunday's game. I will play for you Mike Tomlin's comments about that as well. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Cirino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. I know I said today was going to be the film review. Unfortunately, the NFL didn't put out the All-22 cam until this morning, so I haven't had a chance to really review that just yet. We'll do that later in the week. I think the schedule going forward on this podcast, I do want to get us into a regular schedule now that we're into the regular season. So Mondays, of course, will be my rapid reaction podcast. Tuesdays, seemingly at this point, I think we'll do the Mike Tomlin press conference. I know that makes the podcast come out later in the day. I'm going to try and get it out by 1:30, 2 o'clock Eastern time. So a lot of you can have that ready to go for your evening commute. I know a lot of you like to listen to this on your morning commute. You know, we'll see what we can do again with Crossover Wednesday. It's going to be tough to do the Mike Tomlin press conference and Crossover Wednesday on the same day. Thursday will be then the film breakdown of the game. And then Friday, we'll try to get a guest on here and talk about not just what happened on the previous Sunday, but then preview that upcoming game that weekend. So that'll be the schedule going forward. And also, I do want to let you guys know we have the Facebook page up and running. Also, the Facebook group is up and running. So I want to get the discussion going there. Again, search Locked On Steelers on Facebook, like the page, and then you can join our Facebook group. All right, let's start today with some news and notes, and we'll start with the injury report. Again, as we said, Joe Haden came out of the game on Sunday with a hamstring injury. Sounds like he has a chance to play on Sunday. Tomlin saying he wants to wait and see, you know, how and if he practices throughout the week. According to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, it is a mild grade one hamstring pull. The early signs are positive. This likely won't be an extended period of time missed for Joe Haden, but you know, the likelihood of him playing now against the Kansas City Chiefs, I would say this is 50-50 at best. I think it's much more likely that we're going to see Joe Haden sit this game out, but be back and ready to go for the Monday night game in Tampa in week three. David DeCastro has a hand fracture, which I know sounds like this is going to be a multi-week injury. Remember, he was able to finish the game. He didn't come out against the Browns. And Tomlin said he's going to, you know, they're closely monitoring this situation, and this may affect DeCastro's practice participation. But whether or not this is going to affect him in the game, we shall see. Didn't sound like DeCastro was going to miss any game time. Tyson Alualu has a shoulder injury. Again, this likely to affect him in practice. We'll see how he does in practice and if he can play on Sunday. And then Ben Roethlisberger, the big name on the injury report. Ben Roethlisberger has an elbow injury. Now, Tomlin saying this was just part of the regular bumps and bruises of the game. Of course, Ben was hit a bunch of times, fumbled a couple times. This was, you know, again, he was battered and bruised by a Cleveland pass rush that got there many, many times, even on throws where he was able to get the ball away. He was still hit and hit a lot. Now, according to Tomlin, this did not affect his play in the game. And, you know, as far as his availability on Sunday, Tomlin wasn't willing to come out and say yes or no to that. Just saying, look, he's going to be likely limited early in the week in practice, and we will see how he does later in the week. So really, I think the thing to monitor for Ben Roethlisberger going forward now is not just how he practices on Wednesday. I would not expect him to practice on Wednesday at all. But Thursday, Friday's practice, can he practice even in a limited capacity, in a full capacity on Friday? I think, again, those are going to be good signs when we talk about Ben Roethlisberger's availability on Sunday. He did not address Vance McDonald, only to say that there was no setback last week. That's all he was willing to say about Vance McDonald. Did not include him in the injury report at all. Did say that, you know, even though Vance McDonald did not practice on Thursday or Friday of last week, that there was no setback there. So, again, it's something we're going to have to monitor this week. I think, again, I think the hope for Vance McDonald is going to have to be, you know, much like Joe Hayden, get him back in a limited capacity this week, move into full capacity in practice next week, and then, you know, we'll see if he can play against Tampa. I still think Vance McDonald likely a week away from being able to play in a game. Now, that's it for the injury report. The other interesting thing that came out, though, and when it comes to the depth chart, is that the Pittsburgh Steelers officially removed Le'Veon Bell from the depth chart altogether. So, to this point, it had been Le'Veon Bell as the starter with James Conner as his backup, Jalen Samuels right there behind, and then Stephen Ridley. That is no longer the case. Le'Veon Bell entirely removed from the depth chart. Tomlin did address the Le'Veon situation during his press conference and whether or not he's talked to Le'Veon or they have any more, or the Steelers organization has any more clarity as to whether or not Le'Veon Bell will be showing up anytime soon. I will play those comments for you today as well. But Le'Veon Bell, it seems like the Steelers are certainly moving on from him. And again, I would not expect Le'Veon Bell back within the organization for quite some time. Before we get to the Mike Tomlin press conference, let me tell you about our sponsors for today's podcast, MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with. And that's why this season, MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online and their mobile site is easy to use. They are my bookie of choice for the 2018 season. Again, as I told you guys yesterday, went with a three-team teaser last week. I love these three-team teasers. They always come back to get you, but I'm still a believer. I'll give you my three-team tease of the week later this week. I thought was my sleeper of the year last week when I was going through and looking for real deep sleepers as far as incredible odds you could get for something. How about this one? I got Ben Roethlisberger at 28-1 odds for NFL MVP in 2018. I thought with Le'Veon out, I mean, this is the perfect bet. And I'm off to a slow start on that one as well. But it's a great service. Again, they have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all you fantasy guys out there, you can bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. That would have been a great bet a week ago for James Conner, who, again, blew the doors off even in fantasy. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. We are also brought to you by The Athletic. The Athletic is a subscription-based publisher of smarter sports coverage for diehard fans. In my opinion, they're one of the last great resources for quality written sports journalism. Their model is simple. No ads, no pop-ups, no autoplay videos. Instead, readers subscribe for authentic in-game coverage written by journalists who know their teams inside and out. And for The Athletic in the Pittsburgh Steelers, that is Mark Caboli. I've been following his work for years. He is a fantastic writer for the Steelers. And again, highly encourage you to go subscribe to The Athletic just to read his work. But they've got a nationwide group of journalists there. Their coverage goes beyond game recaps, trade speculation to provide smarter analysis and a deeper perspective about teams and the league. Subscribers have access to local and national content with more than 650 to 700 new stories published every week across all sports. They've got a new national NFL writers with Jay Glazer, Lindsey Jones, Mike Lombardi, Ross Tucker, Ted Wynn, Dane Brugler doing a great job on their draft coverage. Again, they just have a fantastic suite of content over there at The Athletic. If you want to subscribe, head on over to theathletic.com/LockedOnSteelers. That's Locked On Steelers, all lowercase. And you're going to get 40% off your subscription. Again, theathletic.com/LockedOnSteelers to get 40% off your subscription. And then let's get to this Mike Tomlin press conference. Look, he started the press conference not mincing words here, you know, making, you know, a lot of the same points that we talked about here yesterday on Locked On Steelers, saying that this team was very fortunate to even be in this game given the way that they played offensively with the amount of turnovers that they gave up.
Yeah, I thought the significant negativity in the game was the turnover ratio. And I think that is the lesson learned moving forward. First of all, we're very fortunate to be in the game, turning the ball over six times and only getting one. So we're very fortunate to be in the game. We got to do a better job of taking care of the ball. We got to do a better job equally of getting the ball. If you factor in weather as a legitimate factor, whether you choose to or not, if it affected us negatively offensively, it should have also affected the Cleveland Browns negatively. That's why I talk about not us turning the ball over six times, but us not turning the ball over six times and not getting turnovers. The ratio or the margin, -5, is what made it significant. Had we got more turnovers, maybe the game would have turned out differently. So the challenges are for us collectively. We got to look at why we didn't produce more turnovers, given we played 90-plus snaps through almost five quarters of football. And obviously, we got to look at doing a good job of taking care of the ball better on offense.
So Tomlin making an interesting point there, right? Obviously, you can't turn the ball over five, six times, right? We just cannot do that offensively. But an interesting point he makes there, and I've heard a lot of this yesterday as people were writing into me saying, you know, you're being too hard on Ben, or you're being too hard on the offense, and, you know, some of those turnovers can be, you know, chalked up to playing in that kind of weather and that kind of rain, right? That sort of thing. Tomlin brings up an interesting point there, right? Which is, if you are going to attribute some of the sloppiness on offense to the rain, to the weather, well, then you should expect to get your own set of turnovers in that way off on the other side, right? I mean, over the course of a 60-minute game, those things should balance out somewhat. Right. Now, the Steelers, and again, this was not a four-quarter game. This was a five-quarter game, right? This was a 70-minute football game that was played on Sunday. And again, the turnover ratio was 6-1. It's just far too lopsided, even if you're chalking some of that up to weather. And so he makes a great point there, which is to say, you know, defensively, they have to do a better job of getting turnovers and at least equalizing that number in a game like this, where weather probably did play a role in that. But the Steelers were not able to capitalize from it, whereas the Browns were. And that's what led to this fourth quarter comeback and a game that, you know, again, felt like it was in the bag and then just kind of turned, very late in the game. So, again, Tomlin making a good point there, which is that defensively they needed to come up with their own turnovers. Now, they did get the one, right, which was a terrific interception by Cam Sutton at a key moment in the game. But going forward, you can't turn the ball over this many times. And if it's going to be because of an outside force that's causing those turnovers, then again, defensively, we have to be just as good as getting those turnovers ourselves. He also addressed the TJ Watt, Bud Dupree situation, those two guys flipping sides. Here's what he had to say.
I thought Bud had a similar performance in that he was productive. The switch revealed itself in his skill set. We'll continue to work. We're going to ask those guys to be versatile and to move around. You nail those guys down as young people so they can get muscle memory associated with skill development at their positions. But as they get older, we'll continually move them around. It provides flexibility for us. It's more that our opponents have to work on. And that's very similar to what Kansas City does with Houston and Dee Ford. So it's not earth-shattering, but in terms of that tandem, it is new for us because we're acknowledging that they're becoming veteran players and we are more willing to ask them to do new and different things.
One of the things I didn't talk about yesterday during the Rapid Reaction podcast that I probably should have was the play of Bud Dupree. You know, TJ Watt gets all the accolades because, again, he had the four sacks, the 11 tackles, the blocked field goal, right? He had a monster performance on the stat sheet. Bud Dupree did not, but I don't want that to take away from Bud Dupree. He had a fantastic game as well, and especially on rewatch. We'll talk about this more on the Tape Breakdown podcast on Thursday, but I thought he was very good, again, from the left side now. Or the right side, whatever you want to say, from the left tackle position, essentially. He had six hurries in this game. You know, again, I thought he was a consistent pass rusher in this game, and although he didn't have the finishes that TJ Watt did, I thought he played relatively well in his own right, better than we've seen him in the past. Again, he's got to do a better job of finishing. You know, hopefully that will come over time, but I will give him this. He did a good job of taking advantage of what we all came into the game and said, this is a mismatch in favor of Bud Dupree. He should be able to get some pressure on this quarterback. He also drew some holding calls, so hats off to the play of Bud Dupree. Tomlin also talking about the play of Sean Davis at a free safety position and what he saw from Davis.
You know, I thought he had some really good moments. I liked the breakup down the middle of the field early, the clean breakup where it was a defenseless receiver type play, and he did a good job of not hitting the guy in the head and neck area and not utilizing his head. Things like that. He's new to the middle of the field as much as he's in the middle of the field. So to see him make a play like that and do so cleanly, is encouraging. He tracked the ball and had an interception that was negated by penalty. He broke up another big play on a play action on a third down and one down the field. So I thought I saw some really good middle of the field things. It was a good start, but again, you know, you can't paint with a broad brush. We've been in one stadium. We're working. We'll learn more about ourselves individually and collectively as we continue to step into more stadiums.
So again, as I said yesterday, Sean Davis, a real bright spot on that defense, and surprisingly so in his first game as a free safety. Really nothing to dislike about it. You know, again, it's just, you know, it's levels of quality play there. You know, Pro Football Focus rated him as an 83 overall in their ranking or in their rating for the game. You know, 2017, his rating overall was 47 for the year. Now, I know Pro Football Focus, not the end-all be-all for evaluation, and we'll talk more about this. I haven't really dug into the All-22 just yet, so only seeing the TV camera so far. But again, I thought Sean Davis was fantastic, and as Tomlin talks about there, Davis did a very good job of being a disruptor in the passing game, and that's exactly what the Steelers have needed in this free safety role. It's exactly what they haven't gotten from Mike Mitchell, and you saw Sean Davis's athleticism out there. You saw his ability to get to the ball and to break it up and, again, not draw penalties. I thought he was very, very good in this game. Now, he's going to be tested going forward. You know, Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense is not Alex Smith and the Chiefs, and the Steelers, I think, are in for a rude awakening if they expect they're going to play a similar game to the one they've played in the last couple years against this Kansas City team. I expect Kansas City to test this defense, a lot like Matt Stafford and the Lions did a year ago, and really sling it around out there. And the Steelers defense, and especially their secondary, is going to need to be ready, and Sean Davis is going to be a big part of that. Tomlin also talking about the special teams, the play of Ryan Switzer and their coverage units.
You know, I thought we did a good job of getting Ryan Switzer infused into our football team in the kicking game, but also in a few spaces offensively. I thought that was encouraging. I like our overall exposure in the first regular season action to the new kickoff structure. We had several instances where we pinned them down inside the 15 with our coverage unit. We always got out beyond the 25 with our return unit. And I think that's – you can underscore that as we all get comfortable with the new structure of the kickoff and kickoff return element of play. I like what we did there.
It's hard in a 21-21 game, you know, in a tie like this against the Cleveland Browns, to really praise your special teams. But I think Tomlin is right to do so. This was a very, very good game on both sides of special teams, right? You know, again, the return of Switzer, we talked about this yesterday. He was fantastic. And as Tomlin said, getting it out past the 25 on every kick return, but also very good on punt return as well. I had that 22-yard punt return that set the Steelers up in very good field position. Again, return game has been such a problem for the Steelers for so many years. Ryan Switzer, a real bright spot on this team. And that, again, coverage units just as good. And again, you know, I thought the best play in this game for them was when they got the chance to kick off from the 50, instead of just booting it out of the back of the end zone, which would have been so easy in setting this team up at the 25-yard line. This team had confidence in its coverage unit to bloop it. You know, basically they caught the ball, whatever it was, the 2 or the 3 yard line, and weren't able to get it back out to even the 15 yard line. The coverage units doing a fantastic job of setting the Browns back, in their own territory and forcing them to drive deep in this game. Again, I thought special teams, you know, was a big part of this game and would have been a big part of it if this team, again, didn't collapse down the stretch with those turnovers and allowing this Browns team back into the game. And then another underrated part of this game is the penalties, right? You know, I thought this was a significant point of the game, is that the Steelers not only had 6 turnovers, but they were called for 12 penalties for 116 yards. I mean, again, talk about shooting yourself in the foot. That much negativity. Again, it's very hard to win a football game in that way. But Tomlin had an interesting point there.
I just look at penalties relative to our opponent. That's the one thing that's constant, you know, the in-stadium element of it. Sometimes games are, you know, highly officiated and there's a lot of penalties. Sometimes they're not. I always look at penalties relative to the people that we compete against. I think that's the true barometer.
So again, much like he's assessing the turnover battle there, right, in that it's not just that the Steelers turned the ball over 6 times, but that the fact that the defense was not able to turn the ball over themselves, right, that kind of led to a lopsidedness in the turnover ratio. The penalties, on the other hand, while yes, the Steelers were called for 12 penalties for 116 yards, the Browns called for 11 penalties for 87, so that kind of offset. And as I said, I thought the officiating crew on both sides were just awful in this football game. It just felt like there was a flag on almost every play. It stopped drives, it set back drives, and it really hurt the momentum of this football game in a lot of moments. One of the biggest officiating errors in this game from a Steelers fan perspective is, of course, that the muffed punt, or the punt that hit Nick Chubb in the head. The NFL had come out and talked about the Myles Garrett play, but has not yet come out and said anything about the Chubb play. Here is Tomlin asked about whether or not he's heard from the NFL about that play in particular.
I'm not asking for explanations. You know, the way that I look at it is it's an opportunity for us to grow, because sometimes things happen in football that are outside your control. And sometimes you feel like you've been wronged. All of us saw the ball hit that guy. Their returner, Peppers, saw the ball hit that guy, because why else would a returner insert himself into that scrum trying to recover the ball unless he was sure the ball hit the guy? So that's the approach that we're taking as we move forward. Once a decision is made, there's nothing else that you can do about it, man. You got to move on. You'll miss the next opportunity to win the game in some way if you spend time crying over spilt milk. We had other opportunities to secure that game after that. So that's where our focus is in terms of using that as a teachable moment. Why that play was not corrected, I have no idea. Ask New York. They felt comfortable talking about the hit on Ben was inappropriately officiated. I'd be interested to see their comments regarding that play. I haven't taken time to ask because I'm busy preparing for Kansas City.
Unusually strong words there from Tomlin about he'll be interested to hear what the NFL has to say about the muffed play in regards to the NFL coming out after the game and saying that the Myles Garrett penalty, again, that led to a touchdown later in that drive, was incorrectly ruled. But they haven't said anything about this muffed punt play. Very interesting there from Tomlin. I'm glad he came out that strongly about it, because, again, I thought this was an extremely poorly officiated game. And I'm not surprised that the NFL is coming out and saying that there's a play or there should be really multiple plays in this game that were officiated incorrectly. But for the NFL to come out and single that one play as being the play in this game that was poorly officiated, again, I think that is silly. Another talking point among the fan base has been the play of James Washington, or at least the lack of play, the lack of reps that we saw from James Washington in this game. Mike Tomlin was asked about that and whether or not we'll start to see James Washington, or what it's going to take to see James Washington play a full game.
He's got to keep working. You know, he's a young guy. He's made some plays in preseason football. He's made some plays in a training camp-like setting. He played some on Sunday. That will continue. It's just a natural maturation process or development that all players go through. What happened for him Sunday is no reflection of the trajectory of his career, whether it was positive or negative. I think it's important that young guys just wipe the slate clean, man, and clock in and come to work each and every day, and don't overanalyze the here and the now. Because the reality is, in the big scheme of things, he's been here a very short period of time. I know it seems like he's been here a long time for him. He just needs to keep coming to work, as does all the others.
So again, Tomlin really preaching caution there with James Washington, and how this is a guy who will get into the lineup over time. But it's no surprise he didn't see any time in week one, right? This is the same kind of plan the Steelers had with Juju a year ago. Again, Juju played limited snaps against Cleveland, really didn't register on the stat sheet at all, but kind of worked in over the next couple weeks and really emerged as a threat, further down the line. I expect the same from James Washington this year. I think this James Washington situation and why the fan base is so disappointed has much more to do with the play of Justin Hunter than it does the play of, anything else, or James Washington or anyone else, right? Justin Hunter was very disappointing in this game, as he's been in a lot of the regular season games he's played. And I think the fan base is, somewhat rightly here, wanting to move on. And maybe the young guy's not ready, but put him out there anyway. Let's see what he can do. I get that. Again, I also get where the Steelers are as far as let's work him into the offense naturally, like you would do with any other young receiver. Justin Hunter has been around this team. He's been on the team for 2 years now. Probably got a better rapport with Ben Roethlisberger. But again, as we saw on Sunday, it wasn't great, right? Those two were not reading the same book there, not even on the same page. So, we'll see what happens over time. I expect one of the things about this football team is that the team we're watching today is not the same team we're going to be watching 10 weeks, 11 weeks, 12 weeks from now, right? It's going to be a very different team. It evolves over time, and working in guys like James Washington is just going to be part of that, right? I don't think we saw much of the Seminole defense either. We'll talk about that on Thursday's podcast during the film review. We didn't see a lot of Matthew Thomas in this game. Does that mean we're not going to see Matthew Thomas at all this season? No. I think we still will see Matthew Thomas work his way into this lineup over time. But again, let's let those guys work their way in organically and not just force them into the lineup. Tomlin was also asked about James Conner and his workload on Sunday, given 30-plus carries in this game that went all the way into overtime. Do the Steelers feel like they need to manage his minutes at all over the next couple weeks, again, given that he's likely to be the long-term starter now for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Man, I watched that guy tote that ball a lot next door. I think he's been doing that for a long time. I think he's used to that. I think he gets better with use. I think that was one of the things that was attractive about him. I know, what was that, his sophomore year, I think, when he scored all those touchdowns. I mean, he likes to carry the football. He warms up to it.
So no hesitation in giving James Conner the bulk of the workload. We'll see how he holds up over the next couple weeks. Interesting that they didn't use any Stephen Ridley in this game, any Jalen Samuels in this game. They used Ryan Switzer one time at running back, which was an interesting play. I'll be interested to see how much more they try to work Ryan Switzer into the offense. We also saw him get a target in the passing game as he lined up in the slot. So Ryan Switzer is going to be interesting there as well. But I expect to see more Stephen Ridley, more Jalen Samuels over the coming weeks. Tomlin also asked about James Conner's fumble. Now, if you remember, in the past, when a running back has fumbled, specifically in this kind of running back by committee, when a running back fumbles, Tomlin very quick to yank him out and put the next running back in there. That did not happen on Sunday.
I'm not overanalyzing that play. It's a play you'd like to have back. It's a play he'd like to have back. It's a play from a blocking standpoint we'd like to have back. They had a guy in the damn backfield chasing him. So it's just football. We're not going to overanalyze it. We're definitely not going to, have an overreaction. We don't wait for things to happen to preach ball security. Since day zero of our offseason, I'll walk past the running backs and stretch, and I say, take care of the football. The rest is just learning. It's going to be a good day if we do those things. I say that every day. I probably said that to him every day he's been here, so I'm not going to change now.
I think Tomlin has, in a lot of ways, learned from his mistake. If you go back, I forget what year it was. It must have been 2013 or 2014, one of those years, where it was Dwyer, it was Chris Rainey, and it was, I'm going to forget the third running back, but all of them fumbled at one point in the game. The Steelers went through three running backs that day. It might have been Isaac Redman. It probably wasn't Redman. It was the next guy after. It was like the next Isaac Redman. But whoever it was, the Steelers had three running backs in that game, all of whom, might have even been four, all of whom fumbled. All of whom fumbled at different points. And every time one would fumble, Tomlin would take him out and put the next guy in. And, I think Tomlin has kind of learned his lesson there. Don't just yank the guy for fumbling, right? James Conner did a good job in this game. You're protecting the football from that point. Although I do think the fact that he fumbled, it might have gotten in Conner's head, or certainly the coaching staff was preaching ball security from that point forward. I do felt like it changed Conner's running style to be a little more safe, less fighting through contact, more two hands on the ball, more going down early in the rep. And so that led to, again, just a more lethargic Steeler offense. And then finally, Tomlin asked about Le'Veon Bell, whether or not he has heard from Le'Veon Bell and what is just the situation with Le'Veon.
Mike, have you had any recent correspondence with Le'Veon?
I have not, no.
Have you received any clarity on when he might come?
No, I have not. And from that perspective, nothing has changed regarding us. We're preparing to play this week with the guys that are here and working, James being central to that. I will not withhold information from you guys. If and when any of that changes, I'll let you know. If it does not, my answer will remain the same.
So again, we're not going to see Le'Veon for a while. Interesting that he still hasn't reached out to the Steelers, still has not informed them of his intentions to hold out for a long period of time. I don't expect him back until week 10. When he does come back, we'll see how he's used in this offense. Again, I thought James Conner was very good in week one, and we'll see how that evolves over time. Again, I expect to see more Jalen Samuels. I expect to see more Stephen Ridley in these next couple football games. I would not expect to see James Conner running the football 30 times per game in the future. But again, Tomlin sounds like a guy who does not feel like he needs to take James Conner out of there. And again, when it came to Le'Veon Bell, he felt the same way. So we'll see what happens there over time. All right, that'll do it for me today. Tomorrow it is Crossover Wednesday. I'll be talking to Ryan Tracy over at Locked On Chiefs about this upcoming matchup against the Chiefs. Again, this is such an interesting game for the Steelers going up against the Chiefs. This one's at home, so it's nice. The Ben on the road stuff could be gone. Hopefully we see a much better offense, the kind of offense we went into this season hoping to see. But again, if you're hoping to see the same old Chiefs, you're going to be very surprised to see this new young quarterback they have, Patrick Mahomes, a very strong arm quarterback, someone who is going to be very willing to stretch the field and especially go deep with guys like Tyreek Hill. This defense is going to be tested far, far more than they were tested against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.